I hope I never have to quit singing because I love doing that. But on the other hand, I got to be obedient and do what the good Lord asked me to do or tells me to do. This morning, I would like to talk to you guys from the book of Job. And we're going to start in chapter 1. I'll not be a long time doing this, but I just want to point out a few things that Job went through, and that we as a church, as a people, go through daily. And we just don't understand what's going on in our lives. Now, I'm going to just hit on the scripture. I'll read a couple here and there. But now, everybody knows the story of Job. Job was a wealthy man, from what I can gain from the text. He had everything that a man could want. He had a lot of money. He had a whole lot of livestock. It talks in the scripture about how many thousands of animals he had, how many donkeys he had, she-donkeys to be specific. And it goes on, and it goes on. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen. He had 500 female donkeys. And a very large household, and that's scripture. And then it goes on in the scripture to tell about how Satan wasn't happy with that. Because I do know that Job was the type of a man that he was helpful and he was well respected. He'd help his, and he would do right. But anyway, that gives me an understanding that it's okay to help people if you have, and it's okay to help people if you don't have. Amen? And it's also okay to understand, and this is a point I want to drive home, that no matter what we have or no matter how little we have, the devil is always going to be attacking you. That's where our faith comes into play at. Because if I don't have faith, if I don't believe in the word, then none of this matters. Because I'm lost. Amen. But now Job he loved the Lord. And here early on we're going to see that Job had to learn how to see God clearly. Amen? But anyway, it goes on to say, and his sons go to feast in the house, and it just give a little bit about their about how they did things. Amen? Chapter 2, it tells about how Satan attacks Job's health. Now, isn't it just like the devil to attack us when everything is going good? Amen? He wants to take away. He wants to kill us. He wants to steal from us. He doesn't want us to have anything. But now, I know enough to go on ahead and say that our Lord has so much confidence or had so much confidence in Job to know that he was a strong man, that his faith wouldn't waver. Now, needless to say that some of the scripture brought forth that he began to listen to another man. He was asking questions instead of staying strong on his faith. Now, that goes on over into the scriptures to read that. Job was put in a position to where that he lost everything that he had. His family, all his possessions. You know, I don't think any of us has been put in a position to that degree. But now we are placed in position sometimes to where we don't know what we're going to do. Amen. Sometimes we have to take on the mindset, just like I have several times, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get this bill paid? Or how am I going to make sure my kids have this? Or what am I going to do to get over here? And we question ourselves, and this is what Job was doing. He was questioning why he was being driven or why he was being attacked. He didn't understand why he had to lose everything. Again, it's not our possessions. It's not what we have and what we don't have. The devil is a liar. He just wants to kill and steal and take everything from you. Misery loves company. Amen. But anyway, we go on over into the scriptures. I think it's around 42. Let's go back to 31. Along this chapter here, Job was asking then why. Just to wrap it all up in a nutshell, it's a lot of reading there. He wants to know why he's been done this way. You know, it talks about that how he's made covenant with the Lord and how he's done this and that to do the right things for God. He talked about it, said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. When then should I look upon a young woman? For what is allotment of God from above and the inheritance of the Almighty on high? It is not destruction for the wicked, a disaster for the workers of iniquity. Does he not see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with falsehood or my foot has hastened to deceit, let me weigh on honest scales that God may know my integrity. He keeps all through here, he keeps talking about his integrity. He keeps trying to explain to God that how good of a man he is. That's all well and good. But what he hasn't understood yet is that none of that matters. It's whether we have faith and whether we believe. Because I know a lot of good people that are just great individuals that are not saved. And Judgment Day, they're going to hell if they don't repent and ask God into their lives. Amen? It's going to be one of them things to where that you know, hey, I can't help it. I don't care how good a person you are. If we don't come in a line with the Word, if we don't have faith and believe in Christ, we just won't make it, and that's not a good thing. So I'm asking you this morning: how do you perceive the Lord? How do you look at Christ? How do you see God actually? I know it's hard. It's hard sometimes to explain things that are unexplainable. Amen. I know for a fact that some questions I get asked, I can't explain it. Why? Well, from my understanding of what I've read of the Word, some things is beyond a man. Some things is left to God. Amen. I mean, that's also in this chapter. It's in this book as well. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you guys. If we read the Word of God, and we understand the Word of God, that gives us a vision. That gives us, that lets us see Him. If I read a scripture and you read a scripture, there are times we're going to get two different meanings. That may be a time to where there's something going on in my life to where I need this to understand this a certain way. Amen? But anyway, the truth is the truth. And on over in chapter 42. Job is asking for his restoration. Job asked to be restored. Job repented. And it says, "Now therefore, take yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams." This is what he prayed, and he asked God to restore everything. He explained to God that he now understood what he did wrong. Amen. It says Job responds in humility. He compares his former knowledge of God to which it came from others. He was allowing other people into him. The hearing of the ear, and with the priest of knowledge, with the present knowledge, which is superior, it has come directly now to his eyes. So he has now seen in this particular scripture, this particular book, what God was trying to get across to him to begin with. You know, it ain't the fact of what's missing from our life. It ain't the fact of what we have. Once again, it's all about your faith. It's all about believing in Christ. It goes on to say, it says, God then vindicated Job before his three friends, and he rebuked them, instructing them to bring offerings to Job, acting as their priest was sacrificed to God for them. Then God declares his affirmation to Job, and it says, "I will accept him because Job has spoken what was right." God is more tolerant of Job's faith, searching for answers, than the three men that had told him the wrong way. Three people in general, will tell you the wrong way if they're not saved, if they don't really know what's going on with the Word. Amen? Now, I could stand here and tell some of you guys about the Word of God, but now this is what was just sent to me to bring forth to you guys. Sometimes as a body, we struggle. We don't know why. It just happened. We're not the first church to ever lose members, and we won't be the last. But I tell you what, we keep believing in the Word. We keep standing strong, and things are going to start looking up. Amen. I thank the good Lord has sent through our pastors the truest form of Christianity. Amen. I'll go to a lot of places and I sit and I listen to people speak. And believe me, I'm not knocking anybody's, any kind of denomination or nothing, because there's going to be more than one denomination that goes to heaven. You know what I'm saying? But what I am trying to explain is that our church, personally, I think, is one of the truest forms because it's directly from the Bible. He don't cut no corners. He don't tell nothing except for what comes out of here. And I believe wholeheartedly that one of these days we're going to have to add more seats to this place because it's going to erupt. Oh, I believe in that. It's coming. I could just get really silly in here right about now because I feel like jumping up and down. Well, I do. But Job. I couldn't see me standing here faithful like that man. I couldn't see me. I don't think I'd be strong enough to lose everything I've got, including my kids. Now, I may be, but now you think about that. What would you do? What would you do if right now, if you go home and there's nothing there, if you go home and your entire family is wiped away, how would you feel about that? And then you got three people in your ear talking about, well, you done this wrong. Well, you done that wrong. Well, you got to believe like this. What would you do? What would you do? Would we have enough knowledge and understanding to stand on faith and believe? Would we want to trust something that's not tangible, something that we can't see? Would you want to do that? Well, I'm here today to tell you it's not what we want to do. It's what we know from the Word of God. It's what we have to believe. We have to stand in faith, and we have to believe the Word of God. We have to do that. God is good. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what season it is. There's going to be good and bad. The devil is a liar. He's always going to be in our ear telling us we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. Or he's always going to be trying to tempt us to do things that we don't want to do or we should not do. Amen? No matter what we go through, no matter what we have to deal with, it always comes back to being a believer, to standing on our faith. I look at these babies and their parents, because I have them too. No matter what they go out here and do, the seed's been sown. We can't go out here and live for them. We have to come in here and we have to stand and believe in faith that they'll be back. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it had not been for praying people in here for me. I can say that for me. Who knows who I would be? But I know that the power of prayer is strong enough, and faith and belief, that is what gets us through. Amen? It's faith and believing that heals us. It's faith and believing that opens doors for us. It's faith and believing that sees us through. I want to read y'all something here. This is pertaining to this book. It says, after Job's three friends have concluded, the younger man named Elihu confronts Job, who chooses not to respond to the accusations. I think this is really awesome here. And it says, Elihu's argument is, God is greater than any human being. Therefore, a person has no right or authority to require an explanation of him. With that being said, I'm going to stop right there. With that being said, we don't need to question why God do anything. Because he is over us. We're not over him. Amen? Anyway, it goes on. It says, he argues that some things that God does are humanly incomprehensible. At the same time, I believe I'm pronouncing this right, Elihu suggests that God will, God will speak if we will listen. He emphasizes, his emphasis is on attitude of the sufferer. That is, an attitude of humility allows God to intervene. So if we have the right attitude, if we believe, if we have our faith, that's a good thing. This is the core of this message. Instead of learning from suffering, Job took his suffering as if God didn't love him. If our pastor took his suffering that God didn't love him, where would he be? Of course, we sometimes don't think about that. Sometimes we don't understand that it's all about how we believe. It's all about how we see things. Sometimes we don't understand that we have to humble ourselves to get anything done. Sometimes we don't understand that without humility, we're in bad shape. We need to be humbled occasionally. Old saying was, my grandmother used to tell me, she said, there's never been a bird that flew whether his or her feet didn't have to hit the ground. Amen? So when we're going through these adversities, because life is an adversity, when we're going through these things, when we're challenged with obstacles, we need to look up. We need to believe. We need to believe what we come in here every Sunday and listen to. We need to take this. We need to live by this. We need to understand that God can do things that we can't understand. Because that's what's happened in my life. I don't understand why God would take somebody that did the things that I did and turn his life around to put him in front of people. May sound weird, but that's the truth. Sometimes I question like, well, wow, you know, why am I blessed like this? But you know what? It is what it is. I don't understand it, so I go on with life. Oh, yeah, I go on with life. Anyway, let me finish this. It says his emphasis is on the attitude of the sufferer. That is, an attitude of humility allows God to intervene. This is the core of this message. Instead of learning from his suffering, Job has the same attitude toward God as do the ungodly. And this is why judgment will affect him. Still afflicts him. Elihu's appeal to Job is to have faith in God himself, rather than to demand an explanation, to change his attitude to one's humility. My challenge to you guys is of the same basis. To not question why God does what he does. To not question why he's got more than I've got. Or she's got more than I have. Well, why do they get to do this? Why do they get to do that? And I can't. When it's all said and done, none of this you're looking at's going to matter. It ain't none of this going to matter. It's for what my granny used to say, it's all going to burn. Every bit of it's going to burn. So it's not going to matter. What matters is that we stand in faith and we have a strong belief. And we try to do what's right. Amen. God is good. Thank y'all for letting me do this, because it's an awesome thing to get to to get to stand here before people. I'll get better at this as God sees fit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Danny, you can come on up, and those of you got to do the communion this morning. Ricardo kept saying about explanation. You know, Ricardo, we don't live off of explanations. We live off the promises. So that was we live off the promises of God. Amen. And God is the God of restoration. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to take communion now, and we're going to say a prayer over this communion. Thank you, Jesus. What are we waiting for? You're waiting on what? His help. Help, help, help is on the way. Help me. Help is on the way. Hallelujah. I guess we need to move this, don't we? Okay. Let's just stand this morning and just agree with this prayer that we're going to pray over the communion this morning. So just bow your heads and as we come before God this morning. First of all, we just want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your word today, for the time of praise and worship, that we live off of your promises, Lord, and may not understand it, and we understand that you're God and that you're faithful. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, a covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf, we acknowledge that he bore our sin, sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through his sacrifice, we have complete redemption and total deliverance from the works of Satan. As new creations in Christ Jesus, we realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we give thanks for it all in Jesus' name. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this, you, as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." So whatever you need is found in the blood of Jesus this morning. Thank you, Father God. We just thank you for that. You can come forward now.
Tasted and seen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You all have a blessed week. We're going to keep on keeping on. Amen. Keep on keeping on in the power of the Holy Ghost. You all have a blessed week, and I just speak God's blessing over you right now in the name of Jesus. I speak and decree and declare that you are the favorite of the Lord and that you find favor this week with everything your hand touches. I decree and declare over you today that you are blessed beyond measure, that you and your families are blessed, that you have more than enough for yourselves and all those that are around you, that you are the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Be blessed this week. I love you and believe in God's best for you.